First of all, I want you to notice what Jesus said concerning hearing. I want you to notice this because it is so important. And yet that seems to be something that we don't pay a lot of attention to. But Jesus made two statements concerning the subject of hearing. He made the statement in the 8th chapter of Luke, first of all, and the 18th verse. Luke chapter 8, verse 18. Take heed, therefore, how ye hear. Now notice why he said, take heed how you hear. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given. And whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that which he seemeth to have. Now, I want you to notice that he said, whosoever hath, to him shall be given, in connection with take heed how you hear. And whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he seemeth to have. Notice that that's in connection with taking heed how you hear. Then I want you to notice also, I think you know it, and I'll just refer to it, that one of the other writers of the gospel said that Jesus said, take heed what you hear. One of them said, he said, take heed how you hear. And take heed what you hear. And then he said virtually the same thing about taking heed what you hear. For to him that hath shall be given, from him that hath not shall be taken away, even that which he seemeth to have. Well, so many times we won't receive from God without hearing. I said we won't receive from God without hearing. Now, with that thought in mind of taking heed, I just want to impress that upon you for a moment, of taking heed how you hear and taking heed what you hear, I want to read some other scripture and then share with you something that the Lord wants me to share with you. Now, for instance, turn with me to the 5th chapter of Luke's gospel. Luke chapter 5. Let's read the first verse first, and then we'll read the 15th verse. And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear, and it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God. All right, now then notice the 15th verse of the same chapter, Luke 5. But so much the more there went a fame abroad of him, and great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed by him of their infirmities. All right, notice the expression, hear and be healed. They didn't just come to be healed. A lot of people come to be healed and they want to be healed, but they don't want to hear anything. Notice the expression, hear and be healed. They came for that purpose, to hear and to be healed, didn't they? Now, you see, hold that in your mind. Listen carefully now. with what Jesus said, the verse we read about, take heed how you hear. For to him that hath, it'll be given. Even more will be given. How's he going to get it? By hearing. Don't care how much faith you got, you'll get more by hearing the Word of God. You'll get faith for healing by hearing the Word of God. And it'll be given to you. It'll be given to you by hearing. But he, see, take heed how you hear, but he that hath not. You see, that fellow didn't hear because he didn't receive, and so even what he seems to have will be taken away from him. They came to hear and do what? Be healed. All right, take the negative side. That's a positive statement. Take the negative side of that verse. They that hear not are healed not. Hear and be healed. Hear not, be healed not. I've found if I can get people to hear, I can get them healed every single time. 100 times out of 100. 100 times out of 100. I used to tell members of my church, I pastored 12 years, if you'll give me the same opportunity to do the doctor, I'll get you healed every time. It won't cost you a dime. But see, you'll go to the doctor, and we're not opposed to that. You understand that. I'm just making observations. And you go on Monday, and he said, come back Wednesday. Well, you heard that, and you went back. You did what you heard. And you went back Wednesday, and he said, come back Friday. Well, you heard that, and you did that. You acted on what you heard. You went back Friday. He said, come back next Tuesday. You heard that, acted on it, went back next Tuesday. He said, come back next Friday. You heard that, went back Friday. And then on, and I've seen them hear and go and do for, you know, two or three times a week for weeks. Now, they didn't just go one time to the doctor, heard what he said about it, heard what he said about their disease and how long it's going to take and what we'll have to do. How we'll have to diagnose it, you know, and you'll have to come several times. We've got to run these tests. They heard all that and believed it and acted upon it. And they didn't go and said, well, I went to the doctor one time and I saw him and I'm not any better. I'm going to quit. But you see, they'll come one time. And if you don't get them healed, said, see, there's nothing to that. And so what even they have will be taken away from them. Can you see that? I said, can you see that?
Yes.
No, I'd say to my congregation, give me the same opportunity. And they did, and they'd get healed every time. Glory to God. But so much the more, there went a fame abroad of him, and great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed. Hear and be healed. Now, let's look. You're right there in the fifth chapter. Turn right over to the sixth chapter of Luke. Luke chapter 6. Let's look at the 17th verse. And he came down with them and stood in the plain. And the company of his disciples and a great multitude of people out of all Judea and Jerusalem and from the seacoast of Tyre and Sidon, which came to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. Now notice that on both of these occasions, because these are two separate incidents, that they heard first, hear and be healed. Hear and be healed. Are you following? Now then goes on to tell you then, how they were healed. Something about the healing. Let's go on reading. And they that were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed. And the whole multitude sought to touch him, for there went virtue, or the Greek word is power. It's dynamin, D-Y-N-A-M-I-N. And actually, most translations read that way. Power out of him, and healed them all. Now, you see, we misinterpret the scripture all the time. Who is this them all that got healed? Them all that heard? Are you following me? It had already stated in the previous verse, they came for that purpose, to hear first and then be healed. for there went power out of him. All right, now let's turn back. You're right there in Luke, the 6th chapter. Let's turn back to the 4th chapter of Luke's gospel. Read some more scripture, and then I'll share with you some things the Lord wanted me to share in this service. Notice as we begin to read with the 14th verse of the 4th chapter of Luke's gospel. And the Lord returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee, and there went out a fame of him throughout all the region round about, and he taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all. The purpose of his teaching was that they might hear. Notice that it said that the first thing he did was taught. He didn't say he healed. We'll not take time to do it, but you might write it down. You could go back to the 9th chapter of Matthew's gospel, the 35th verse, I believe it is, talking about the ministry of Jesus. And he went throughout their cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every manner of sickness and every manner of disease among the people. Now notice what Jesus did. He put teaching first in his ministry, preaching second and healing last. Now see, most people would like to, you know, they'd like to get in on the healing, but they don't want to go through the teaching and the preaching part. And a lot of people would like the preaching and the healing and the preaching part, but they don't want the teaching part. But if you don't get the teaching and the preaching, you can't have the healing. Are you listening? Now, notice what it said here. So he taught. That's the first thing that he did. He taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all. And he came to Nazareth where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Esaias, or that is Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." And he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister, and sat down. And the eyes of all of them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears." And all bear him witness, and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, "Is not this Joseph's son?" And he said unto them, "Ye will surely say unto me this proverb, 'Physician, heal thyself.' Whatsoever we have heard done in Capernaum, do also here in thy country." And he said, "Verily I say unto you, no prophet is accepted in his own country. But I tell you of a truth, many widows were in Israel in the days of Elias," that's Elijah, "when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, when great famine was throughout the land, but unto none of them was Elijah sent, save unto Sarepta, a city of Sidon, unto a woman that was a widow. And many lepers were in Israel in the time of Elisha the prophet, and none of them were cleansed, saving Naaman the Syrian." And all they in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath, and rose up and thrust him out of the city, and led him unto the brow of the hill whereon their city was built, that they might cast him down headlong. I've stood right there on that very place. They'd have thrown him off of there, they'd have killed him. But he, passing through the midst of them, went his way and came down to Capernaum, a city of Galilee, and taught them on the Sabbath days. Now, turn back just briefly to Mark, the sixth chapter, Mark's Gospel, the Gospel according to St. Mark, the sixth chapter. And notice something here that you've seen before, all right. But here's Mark's account of Jesus' ministry in his hometown of Nazareth. The fifth verse. And he, Jesus, could do no mighty work. Now read the previous verses, you see. And it tells about, you know, they said, is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James and Joseph, and so on. We get down to the fifth verse. And he, Jesus, could there do no mighty work. Now notice that he didn't say he wouldn't, said he couldn't. Save, or we would say, however, he laid his hands on a few sick folk and healed them, a few. And the few that did get healed didn't have much wrong with them. W. Vine's Expository Dictionary New Testament Word said he laid his hands on a few folks with minor ailments. Now notice the next verse. And he marveled because of their unbelief. Marveled because of their unbelief. Now notice the rest of this verse. And he went round about the villages teaching. Teaching. He's going to help their unbelief. He's going to have to teach them. They're going to have to hear. Now you're right there in the sixth chapter of Mark. Just look at the fifth chapter of Mark. Now this will be our last reading. Then we'll try to tie it together for you. We read over there about this multitude that came for to hear and to be healed. And as many as touched his clothes were healed because there went virtue or power out of him and healed him. We see a similar incident here relative to one individual. There was, and a certain woman, verse 25, a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years and had suffered many things of many physicians and had spent all that she had, was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse when she had heard. When she had heard of Jesus. Came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, if I may touch but my clothes, but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up. And she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue or power had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? And his disciples said unto him, thou seest a multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, who touched me? And he looked around about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, daughter, thy faith has made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. Now again, I want you to notice that this is a concrete example of what happened those other places. Hear and be healed. She got healed because she heard. Did you notice that? I said, did you notice that? When she had heard. Well, I'm sure a lot of other folks heard too, but they let it get by. Are you listening to me now? Now, here's something the Lord wanted. I wanted to lay a foundation of God's Word there for you, you see, so you can see that it's the Word. I made reference to this. I do it all the time. There are various ways to minister. And different people God uses in different ways. And so they will emphasize the particular way that God uses them because that's the way he worked with them. Remember talking about things pertaining to and of the Holy Ghost, which includes gifts of the Spirit and otherwise. Over in 1 Corinthians 12, it said there are diversities of operations. diversities of operations. And so, as I said, God works differently with different people, and so they'll emphasize whichever way God works with them. I made mention of this fact at camp meeting that, speaking of this diversities of operations, minister friend of mine, mighty miracles happened under him. He always anointed people with oil. I mean, even evangelistic meetings. I never saw him pray with anybody any other way except anoint him with oil. You see, he was dying. Medical science gave up on him. Just as a young fella, young man, young single man. Dying. Doctors can't do anything. He's on his deathbed. It'll be a few days, the doctor said to his parents, and he'll be gone. Nothing medical science can do. He has to die. But meditating on the scriptures, and someone, a man of God, came in and anointed him with oil, according to James 5:14, jumped right off of a deathbed, ran downstairs and shouted, "I'm healed, I'm healed, I'm healed, I'm healed," and he was. Well, bless God, he knows anointing with oil works. He's raised up from a deathbed by the hands laid on him, you see. So in all of his meetings, you know what meetings that fellow had? He'd have somebody to stand there with a little bowl, small bowl, holding some oil in it, and he'd put his finger in that oil and put it on people, and people were healed. Amen. Knowledgeable people. I saw him in the last days of his ministry. But friends of mine, that in fact one particular minister of the gospel, Assemblies of God minister, ordained of the Assemblies of God, actually came in under his ministry. They were healed. And in the revival, great tent meeting that they were in, they said the platform was just absolutely filled with crutches and braces and wheelchairs. People, well, he anointed everybody. He knows that works. I mean, that's the only way that's all he emphasizes. He don't talk about being healed any other way. Because, see, he knows that works. That's the way God works with him. Now, here's another fellow, friend of mine. Knew him personally. Well, I knew both of these fellows. Talked to him, visited with him, fellowship with him. And he was dying. I mean, the doctors give him up. In fact, when he was healed, a doctor said he ought to have been dead several days ago. That's what the doctor said to him. I'm just a young fellow, like this man was. And so they took him out, put him in a car. See, they didn't know a whole lot about healing. But, you know, people get desperate. They'll search anywhere. And there's a fellow holding down in our part of the country a Brush Arbor meeting. Anybody know what a Brush Arbor meeting is? Well, you know, rather than just be out in the open, you know what an open air meeting is. Well, you see, they'd put some posts in the ground, run some wire from these posts and cut down trees and put the branches up on this wire, you see. Sort of shield them a little bit if they're out in the sun or weather, you know. It's a brush arbor. Few folks are under it, more people standing around the thing than under it, you see. So they drove up as close as they could. They got this young man in the back seat of the car because he's bedfast. He's dying. Now, this minister in that brush arbor out in the country, he lays hands on people. He read these signs of following him, believe they'll lay hands on the sick. He come out there to the car because they're not able to get the man in. He come out to the car after the meeting, laid hands on the fella, and he is instantly healed. God called him to preach, and he entered into the ministry. Well, he always laid hands on people. Only way he ever ministered. Only way I ever saw him minister was laying on hands. Because, you see, he knows that worked for him, praise God. He was raised up from a deathbed. His faith would exercise along that line, see? And marvelous, I've seen marvelous healings under the man's ministry. But now that's all he ever emphasized. He never mentioned any other method. He emphasized that method. That's the way God worked with him. Now here's another friend of mine. You know, we used to, all healing evangelists in America at one time were in what we call the voice of healing, except Brother Roberts. And he would attend our conventions in those early days. And all healing evangelists would have a convention every year for many years back, you know, from in the late 40s and over into the 50s. And so this man was actually a denominational preacher, educated to the nth degree. Boy, he's got all kinds of initials, you know, on the end of his name. That guy's educated. And really, he went to the healing meeting, you know, just to get more fuel and ammunition to fight it. And he's sitting in the auditorium way back up here in the auditorium, you know, on the balcony, gathering material, you know, he's going to preach against this. He already has been. And he's going to preach more against it. But you see, the fella has had a chronic condition in his body that it's not terminal, but yet doctors can't do anything about it. He can get along, you know, with taking something with pain for pain, you know, and he might live his life out, but he'd be incapacitated to a certain extent because he'd got this chronic condition. And here the evangelist is ministering, and here are gifts of the Spirit in operation, the word of knowledge and gifts of spirit, healing are in operation. And the evangelist is ministering to others, but suddenly the evangelist stopped and just pointed right up there and said, there's a minister of the gospel. I told him exactly what was wrong with him. If you'll come down here, you know, lay hands on you, you'll be healed. Well, he said at first he got mad, singling me out like that. He thought everybody saw him. This evangelist, this woman evangelist, pointed that away and said, there's a minister up there. Well, up in the balcony, there's hundreds of people up there. I mean, but he thought she'd be pointing him out. Everybody's looking at him. Said he got mad at first. And then he got to thinking, well, I've suffered with this thing. Doctors can't handle it. I'll just march down there. So here he climbed out, marched down there. Power of God came on him, and that great fellow fell flat on the floor. But all of his symptoms disappeared. Well, he ministers that way. I mean, he knows that works. Praise God. He emphasizes that. Well, through the years, and for many, many years, I emphasize just people being healed by their own faith. See, I was healed. You know my testimony. Just as a Baptist boy reading Grandma's Methodist Bible. I didn't know anybody. That believed in divine healing. Really, I thought I'd found something in the Bible that anybody else know anything about. I found out later a lot of folk knew about it. But no full gospel church in our town, no full gospel broadcast, you know, preached healing and so on the air, radio, you know, radio is all we had in those days, 1933, 34. None. Never heard a sermon on divine healing, never heard a sermon on faith. See, what I heard was, well, if it's the will of the Lord, he'll heal you. I mean, even on the radio, if it's God's will, now we prayed for him, you know. Yeah, we're going to pray for the sick. You, God, you comfort them now and be with them. If it's your will, you heal them. If it's not, let them die. Well, now, they didn't say it in those words, but when you analyze it, that's what they said. And one Baptist preacher, and of course, I was Baptist, and actually I listened to the Baptist more than anybody else because I thought the Lord Jesus Christ and all of his apostles were Southern Baptists. And this Baptist preacher out of Dallas had a radio broadcast, and he went just a little shade further than most Baptists. He did say, now we are going to pray because it is the will of God to heal some people, and some people is not. And me, the devil said, you're one of them that's not. So my faith wouldn't work, you see, because I'm one of them that's not. I believe that, see. I heard the wrong thing, and I believe the wrong thing, see. You're one of them that is not his will to heal. And so, by getting into the Word and reading the Word, Mark 11, 23 and 24, and by acting on that, I was healed on my own faith, just as a boy, just as a teenager. Well, I know that works, glory to God, because it worked for me, and it's worked all through these years. And so I went out preaching like that. That's the only way I preached healing for many years, you see. I know that worked. Well, somebody said, who's right? You know, are you right? Is this fellow right? Is that one that? Well, all of us are. Praise God, no contradiction between any of it. It's all in the Bible. Now, you see where the mistake's made, if we're not careful, we leave the impression that this is the only way it can be done. This is the only way God heals. Now, when we do that, then we're wrong. So, as I said, different people will emphasize different methods of healing because that's the way the Lord works with them, you see. Well, in 1950, I was holding a meeting, and I refer to this, and sometime maybe I ought to just tell every bit of it, but sometime, you know, whatever part that's applicable to what I'm preaching about or teaching about at the moment, that's the part I tell then, you see. And so I was holding a tent meeting in Rockwall, Texas, for a little full gospel church. A little tent, it was only 60 by 120, 60 feet wide, 120 feet long. The church had rented the tent, put it up, invited me to come to be the guest speaker. And so on Saturday night, September the 2nd, 1950, we're services over and we're praying around the altar. Now, they'd put a rug right down on the ground. And the altar was on that, you see. Well, all the people that had come to pray were on the rug. I couldn't see any place, you know, I mean, otherwise. So I just knelt up on the platform and began to pray. And I heard a voice in the English language say, come up hither. Didn't pay attention to it much at first. In fact, I just kept praying, kept my eyes shut. But I heard it three times, a male voice say, come up hither. The fourth time, he said, come up hither, come up to the throne of God. And well, then I opened my eyes, still not knowing anybody's talking to me, opened my eyes and looked up, and the Lord allowed me to see into the spirit world. I got my physical eyes wide open, but I didn't see the tent for an eye's concern. It disappeared. Not one tent pole. The tent is full of folding chairs. Didn't see one right out in front of me because I'm a facing. Here's this altar bench, you see, with people all around it. Didn't see the people. Didn't see the altar bench. Didn't hear them praying, yet I got my eyes wide open. My physical eye. I saw standing about where the top of the tent should be the Lord Jesus. Seemed like I just went right up there and stood with him. He said, let us go up to the throne of God. We went up and stood before the throne of God. Now then, skipping over some things that he said, he began his conversation with me. I'll say this by saying, I called you before you were born. I separated you from your mother's womb. Satan tried to destroy your life before you were born many times since then, but my angels have watched over you and cared for you until this present hour. He talked about when he entered into the first phase of my ministry, when he entered into the second phase of my ministry. Then he said to me, it's time for you to enter into the third phase of your ministry. And he reached his own two hands out like that with the palms up and said, stretch forth your hands. So I stretched forth my hands and he laid the finger of his right hand, the palm of each one of my hands. Now when he did, the palms of my hands began to burn. They do that right now. And they get to burning, so I had to rub them, try to get a little relief. Because, you know, it just almost hurt. And then, after he had touched the palms of my hands, he said to me, kneel down before me. So I knelt on my knees, and I always say I laid his hand on my head. He might have laid both hands, I don't know. Because, see, I bowed down before him and bowed my head and closed my eyes. I just felt my head touched, and I suppose that he laid his hand on me. Might have been both of them, I don't know. But anyway, he said, when he laid hands on me, I have called you and have anointed you and have given unto you a special anointing to minister to the sick. Now, you understand, I'd been ministering to the sick for a good many years. Actually, for 16 years. First as a Baptist pastor by laying on hands and anointing with oil. And then secondly, as a full gospel after he was baptized with the Holy Ghost, continued to anoint people with oil, lay hands on them. And then after being baptized with the Holy Ghost, sometimes gifts of healings would operate, you see. But now this is something different. Well, then he said to me, after he laid his hands on my head and said, I've called thee and have anointed thee and have given unto thee a special anointing to minister to the sick, then he said, stand upright on thy feet. And this is what I wanted you to get now. So I stood up on my feet. And he talked to me for about 45 minutes about different methods of healings. And I'm not going to all of it, but this part God wants me to emphasize tonight. Remember the original text, take heed how you hear. Take heed what you hear. Take heed how you hear. Now, he said to me, you understand that this isn't the only way to minister healing. I said, sure, I understand that. We talked about how I was healed just by acting on God's word for myself. As far as I know, nobody else prayed except me. When you pray, believe you receive and you'll have. And just begin to make my confession, I believe I'll receive my healing. We talked about then how in the early days when I first started out, because I was raised Southern Baptist, didn't know anywhere else to go. And as a young Baptist boy pastor, how that I would anoint people with oil, lay hands upon them, and see them healed. We talked about, he discussed with me, and I discussed with him about how after I was baptized in the Holy Ghost and spoke with other tongues and received the left foot of fellowship from among the Baptists and came over among the Pentecostals, that I continued to anoint people with oil, continued to lay hands upon them, both of them, sometimes both in combination. And then how that the Holy Ghost began to manifest himself through me at times as the scripture talks about these manifestations. Notice he calls them gifts and also calls them manifestations. So he talked about that. Then he said, now this, when he said this, I know he's talking about this anointing. This will not work unless you tell the people. You know, and I always tell it before a minister, every time. This will not work. This anointing, this healing anointing, will not work unless you tell the people exactly what I have told you. Well, now, when he said that, my mind began to whir because this whole vision, some of it had to do with the end time, and the whole thing was about an hour and a half long, and I thought to myself, does he want me to tell the whole thing every time before I minister? You know, I mean, that'd take a lot of time. Well, he knows what you're thinking, so he said, this will not work unless you tell the people what I've told you. And see, and I'm thinking that. And he goes on to say, that is, you tell them you saw me. You tell them I appeared unto you. You tell them that I spoke to you. You tell them that I laid the finger in my right hand in the palm of each one of your hands. You tell them that I told you to tell them that the healing anointing is in your hands. You know the Lord has a sense of humor. He said, not in your feet. I didn't tell you to lay your feet on anybody. He said, not in your head. I didn't tell you to lay your head on anybody. In your hands. And then he went into giving me scripture about laying on of hands. I don't know. I didn't even realize then, you know, and yet you'd read it there in Hebrews 6, that laying on of hands is one of the principles of the doctrine of Christ. We knew repentance from dead works was. We heard that preached all of our lives. We knew faith toward God was. We'd heard that preached. We knew the doctrine of baptism was. We'd heard that preached. We knew that eternal judgment was. We'd heard that preached. Amen. We knew the doctrine of the resurrection. We'd heard that preached. But I never heard anybody preach on laying on hands. No one. No one even mentioned it other than in our Baptist church when they ordained people, they would lay hands on them. And even when they installed the deacons in the office, they'd lay hands on them. That's all I knew about laying on hands. But he started in Acts of Apostles. He said, you see, in the Acts of the Apostles, it said, and by the hands, Acts 5:12, by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people. He said, you see, I use men's hands. He said, you see, it says in Acts 19, 11, and 12, and God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul, so that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs of aprons, and the diseases departed from them, the evil spirits went out of them. He said, I have given you a ministry of laying on of hands. And then here's something that we didn't do down there. I've never seen anybody do it down our part of the country. See, I'd come over among Pentecostals, and they taught tarry in the city, you're being due to power on high. Everybody tarry to be filled with the Spirit. Tarry, wait, seek, pray. He said, it also states, when Peter and John were come down, Acts 9 and 17, then they laid their hands on them, they received the Holy Ghost, the Samaritans. It also states, that's the 8th chapter, now in the 9th chapter, that was Acts 8, 17. According to Acts 9, 17, it also states, and Ananias entered in and putting his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, the Lord even Jesus that appeared to thee in the way as thou camest has sent me, that thou mightest receive your sight, be healed, and be filled with the Holy Ghost. It also states in Acts 19, 6, and when Paul found these Baptist people down there at Ephesus, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? Said, we not such much heard. We've been the Holy Ghost. Said, whose baptism were you baptized? Said, John's. John the Baptist. Weren't the Baptist? The 6th verse said, when Paul put his hands on them, the Holy Ghost came on, they spake with tongues and prophesied. Now, I've given you a ministry of laying on hands. There is a ministry. See, you can lay hands on people in faith. Anybody can do that. And pray with them about any need for us. That's good, sir. And the laying on hands is a point of contact to release your faith. That's where you start believing, God, I receive. My prayer is heard. I receive. See, anyone can do that. But there is a ministry of laying on hands. And, you know, I started out playing hands in that there, 1950 on believers into 1958, I'd personally, because I kept counting, laid hands on 10,000 people and heard them speak with other tongues. And the Lord said to me, quit counting them. And so I quit. 1958, I quit. I have never counted them since then. But I'd have sometimes, I've been in service and had as many as 300 in one service, all be filled with Spirit, start speaking with tongues. I'd go from church to church. And the churches, you got to realize this, that I'm dealing with chronics. They've been seeking Holy Ghost for years. My best record is one fellow here in Southern California. I was preaching at the Four Square Church here in Southern California, and he had been 50 years seeking the Bible. He was in the old Azusa Street Revival, 1906. That revival run from 1906 to 1909, three services a day. He's a school teacher in Southern California. His wife received. He went, you see, every night for 3 years. And on Saturday and Sunday, three services and sought. 50 years. And I very seldom, if ever, left any church without everybody being filled with the Holy Ghost. Everybody. Everybody. We'd just run out of them. When run out of them, then I'd quit and go somewhere else. and the majority of people would be healed. You see, if I can get them to hear, come in here and be healed. This will not work unless you tell the people. Tell them the anointing's in your hands. Tell them I told you to tell them that if they will believe that, that is, believe you're anointed, and will receive it, then that anointing will flow from your hands into their body and will drive out their sickness or their disease, or will effect a healing or a cure in them. Now, you've heard me say that before. Now, here's something I want to go further with a little bit that Jesus said in commenting on this. See, first he had to correct me. We have been so religiously brainwashed until it's difficult for us to see truth a lot of times. I mean, to hear truth. Because we've already got it fixed in our mind another way. Are you following me? He said, you see, now he'd already stated that this is one way, not the only way, but one way to be healed. Biblically, scripturally, we can see that from all we read. He said, you see, among other ways, I also ministered this way. Now, he ministered other ways as well. You can see that by reading the four Gospels. But I ministered also with a tangible anointing. You can see that in the woman with the issue of blood. There went power out of him, healed him, see. That was the anointing. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth. We read here where when he came into this hometown, this synagogue, his hometown in Nazareth, that he read from the book of Isaiah, the Spirit of the Lord's upon me because he's anointed me. And he goes on to tell what he's anointed me to do. Isn't that right? Now here's what he said. Here's what Jesus said to me, you see. And I still had a whole lot of Baptist tradition in me. And then you pick up some tradition from the Pentecostals. And they brought it out of the different churches they came out of into this experience. Up till this time, I actually thought, because we were taught that, I actually thought that Jesus just always, without question, just healed everybody everywhere. You know, we were taught that. He did that to prove his divinity. He did that to prove his deity. See, he always healed everybody, everywhere, under all circumstances. Jesus said, and you know, it came as a surprise to me. I couldn't hardly believe it was in the Bible. I had to go back and look it up. And it was all in it. He said, you see, in my hometown here, I got up and announced to them, I'm anointed. But they wouldn't believe it. Those who didn't believe it and receive it didn't get any healing. Did you see that there a while ago? He said, it's written, I could. He told me where it's found. He said, and I looked it up afterwards. See, I really wasn't familiar enough to know that verse was in the Bible, though I'd read right over it. Well, you know yourself, you read chapters and verses for years. The Holy Ghost brought it to you, else you was reading one day and it just seemed to leap out of the page. And you say, well, dear Lord, that's been there all the time. I didn't even realize that. Haven't you? Anybody who's read the Bible knows that, see, just that way. And so he said, you see, it's written in Mark 6:5 that I could. Now, Jesus is talking to me. See, King James translation says, and he could. Now, he's talking to me. So he said, it's written. And like I said, this came as an astonishment to me because it contradicted what I had believed and preached as a Baptist preacher and then as a full gospel preacher. You see what I mean? He said, it's written in Mark 6:5 that I could there do no mighty work. Not that I wouldn't, I couldn't. Well, I said, you know, I always thought you could just do anything. I mean, well, you see, he can under the right conditions. Are you listening? He said, it's written, I could. And like I said, this came as a shock to me in Revelation. And I think sometimes that we, instead of going over these things, we just suppose that people know what we know and they don't. So they don't hear. And they don't get healed very often because they didn't hear. They came to hear and to be healed. Well, now, what did they hear? See, that group there says they came to hear and to be healed. And it tells you about that going on. What did they hear? What do you suppose they heard? They must have heard the same thing you preached over there. See, that's what Jesus said. He said, that's always the first sermon I preached everywhere I went, or first teaching I taught. I went into the synagogue. Every single place. He said, I didn't just do that in Nazareth. Jesus said to me, every city I went into, every synagogue I went into, the first thing I did was got up and read from Isaiah and preached the same sermon to them. and gave him the same Bible lesson. I told him, I'm anointed. Can you see that? What do you suppose they heard down there? We read this whole multitude came to hear and to be healed, and we read on another case, a different group, came to hear and to be healed, and then it went on to tell about this power going out of them and healed them. Are you following me? It said, this woman, the one this year of blood, for when she had heard, it tells you first about her condition, 12 years, spent all of her living, all of her money's gone, doctors couldn't help her, she's worse and stood the better when she heard of Jesus. She came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, if I'm of a touch his clothes, I shall be whole. Wonder what she heard. She must have heard that he's anointed. She must have heard he's anointed with healing power. I heard him say so. I heard him say so. When she heard that, she heard it. She said, if I may but touch his clothes, I'll be whole. Glory to God. Are you following me? You see what he wanted me to say? So they'd hear, so they'd read. So he said, Jesus said to me, those that would not accept my teaching did not receive my healing. Well, they didn't in Nazareth, did they? A few of them, he said, they were a few. Now, here's the way Jesus said it to me. There in Nazareth, they were a few, however, that I laid hands on that were healed that didn't have much wrong with them. Well, again, that came as revelation to me. I studied it after. I looked it up afterwards. Well, I could see that the King James said he laid his hands on a few sick folk. And he said these few that did get healed didn't have much wrong. And he asked me a question, how many is a few? Well, I didn't know. I said, well, a few is a few. And he asked me again, how many is a few? I said, well, it's not many. And he asked me the third time, how many is few? See, I thought everybody got healed in Nazareth, but they didn't, just a few of them did. Didn't it? I said, we read it. Just a few of them did. How many is a few? Well, I finally said, well, now, in my opinion, a few is, well, anywhere from 2 to 6. Now, later on, I got to think about it. The Bible said 8's a few. You know, in the days of Noah, it said there's 8 souls. There's a few saved by water, 8 souls. The Bible calls 8 a few. So if you'll take the Bible count, that's anywhere from 6 to 8 people. That's all that got healed in Nazareth under the ministry of Jesus Christ, Son of God. And these few, 6 or 8 that did get healed, he said to me, didn't have much wrong with them. Well, I read the King James after the vision, you see. I read the King James because I want to prove everything with the Scriptures. I wouldn't accept any vision, don't care what kind of manifestation, what kind of visitation I had. I wouldn't accept it if it can't be proven by this book. It's not in line with it, see. So I went over that verse. I really didn't know that verse is in there, you know. I mean, just to say I know it's in there. But after he brought it to my attention, I remembered. And so I said, I began to study it. Well, it said, King James, he laid his hands on a few sick folk. I looked it up in W.E. Vine's Expository Dictionary of New Testament Words. And Vine was a Greek scholar. He said, the Greek says, he laid his hands on a few folks with minor ailments. Well, the way he said it, they didn't have much wrong with them. That's minor, isn't it? Now, Jesus said, if I had been healing the sick like most church people think I was, just entirely to prove his deity or divinity, he said, now here at Nazareth, I sure did pass up a wonderful opportunity to prove something to him, didn't I? I got run out of town. He did get run out of town, didn't he? I said, didn't he? He said, if it had been like folks, church people, and up to that time, me. He said, I would have said to them, now you get 6 blind people. See, that wouldn't have been a minor. I mean, blindness is not a minor ailment. That's a major something. You get 6 blind people. They had doctors in. Luke was a doctor. Have the doctors to examine them, certify they're blind, and I'll just heal these 6 right here in front of you to prove something to you. But I didn't. He said, if I'd have ministered like many folks thought of it, I'd have said, you get 6 deaf and dumb people. See, that's not minor. And we'd have the doctors to examine and certify that they're deaf and dumb. And then I'll just heal them, prove to you. Or you get 6 bedfast people, paralyzed with palsy, like the man, you know, who was bedfast. Have the doctors to examine them, certify that they're bedfast and incurable, or lepers, 6 lepers, and I'll just heal them right here in front of everybody and prove to you But he said, instead of doing that, I got run out of town. I didn't prove anything to him. Well, he said, you'd say, well, why? Aren't you the Son of God? Aren't you the divine Son of God? Aren't you anointed by the Holy Ghost? Wasn't it you that John baptized in Jordan's river and he came straightway up out of the water? The Holy Ghost descended upon him in a bodily form, shape as a dove, and lit on him, and a voice from heaven spoke and said, this is my beloved Son whom I'm well pleased. Didn't you have the power to heal the sick? Yes. Why didn't you? Well, he said the sixth verse in Mark 6 said, because of their unbelief. Why did they have unbelief? Because they wouldn't hear. They wouldn't hear. What am I going to do to help them? He said, it says, I went about their cities and villages teaching. I've got to get them to hear me if I'm going to get healing to them. Can you see that? Can you see that? I've got to get them to hear me. Those that did not hear me did not receive my healing. See, they said, well, isn't this Joseph's son? From whence is this man these things? Well, you know that couldn't be real. Who does he think he is anyhow? Why, isn't he a carpenter? Another verse there said he's a carpenter. See, he brought up his father's carpenter. He's a carpenter. Well, you know a carpenter. Where did he get that anointed business? Who does he think he is? Nothing happened. They came to hear and to be healed. Hallelujah. Hear and be healed. Hear and be healed. Hear and be healed. So he said, you see, this is one way, just one way, not the only way, one way that I ministered. This will be the main way that you will minister, see. The primary way is the word you use. Primary way that you minister. But it won't work unless you tell the people exactly what I told you. And if they'll believe it. See, hear it, in other words. You can't believe it without hearing. How shall they believe without hearing, the scripture tells us? If they believe it. Oh, it's wonderful to see people believe. I laid hands on them and like you laid your hands on a doorknob. Nothing happened. But the same people, you kept them coming. I knew they weren't hearing, but they kept coming. And finally, they went to hearing. They began to hear. I've had the same people come. And when you laid hands on, brothers, like you got a hold of a live wire. I mean, it shook. The power went into them, was transferred to them, and they were healed. Now, look here in just a moment before we close. See something about how this anointing works. See why you have to hear. See what makes it work. Let me repeat something else Jesus said to me, though, before I tell you this. And you can see it from that. You open your Bibles to that fifth chapter of Mark where we left off with, and we'll quit with that. Now listen. Here's something else Jesus said to me in connection with what we're talking about, you see. He said to me, you be as bold to tell this. That is about me seeing him. You be as bold to tell this as Ananias was. And then he went on, you refreshed my mind, I knew it of course, in the ninth chapter of the Acts. I remember Saul of Tarsus breathing out threatenings against those that were in that way, had letters from the officials and so on, to put in jail and bond and change them there in that way. And as he approached the city of Damascus, suddenly shined a light around about him brighter than noonday sun. They heard a voice from heaven speak, say, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? He said, who art thy Lord? He said, I'm Jesus, whom thou persecutest. Now, as we go down a little further in the chapter, it said, now there was in the church at Antioch a certain disciple. Now, see, this man's not an apostle, he's not a prophet, he's not a man, he's not a pastor, teacher, a disciple. The way we talk, we'd say there's a certain layman. There's a certain layman in the church in Antioch. See, a disciple is a student, a learner, a follower of the Lord. And to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias. And he said, I'm here, Lord. He said, arise. See, in a vision, that means Ananias saw Jesus and heard him speak to him. He said, arise and go into the street called Straight. And inquire in the house, certain house, you know, for this man, you see, for behold, he prays. And he's seen in a vision. Now here, Saul had another vision. already had one out there. He's seen the Lord. Had to be a vision because his eyes were shut, because it said when his eyes was open, he's blind, couldn't see. And another portion of scripture, when Paul recites it in the 26th chapter of Acts, he said, we were all fallen to the earth. And after it's over, he said he couldn't see for the glory of that light. See, he wasn't struck blind with blindness, disease. Are you listening to me? It is the glory of God. Are you listening to me? That's what it said, for the glory of that light. And so, he said, Ananias, the 17th verse said, and Ananias entering in and putting his hands, there's the hands again, upon him, said, Brother Saul, Brother Saul. Some folks said he wasn't saved till after this. Because after it's over, Saul said, Ananias said to him something about being baptized in water. Brother, you don't call sinners brother. That'd be like saying, Brother Hitler? No, he met Jesus. Now notice what he said. Notice the 17th verse of the 9th chapter of Acts. And Ananias entering in and putting his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, the Lord even Jesus that appeared to thee in the way as thou camest. Now you could say that another. In other words, the same Jesus that you met out there, the same Jesus that you got acquainted with out there on the road to Damascus. That's when you're saved, friends, when you get acquainted with Jesus. Are you listening to me? Now then get this. This same Jesus that appeared to thee in the way as thou camest has sent me. Well, now some folks said you oughtn't to say that the Lord sent you. Well, you oughtn't if he didn't. That's true, all right. You'd be lying. Now, see, some folks want the Lord to send them so bad that they just sort of daydream up something and start hollering, the Lord sent me. Well, now, that's foolish. But on the other hand, there's a reality. Nobody else could have entered in. No one else, even if there's another apostle or prophet, could have entered in and said that because he didn't say that to anybody else. But this man could be bold. Wasn't that being bold? Said he sent me. The same Jesus that appeared to you sent me. That's what he told me. He said, you be as bold as Ananias was about it. He said, you tell people I sent you. He said, you tell people if they're Christians, the same Jesus that you know has sent me. Sent me. Tell them I sent you. I gave you a ministry of laying on of hands. I sent you to lay hands on the sick. Now, see, all believers can do it. Because it said these signs are following them that believe. You can partake of that, but it's difference in being sent to do it. Ananias was sent. He said, I sent him to lay the hands on the one man. So we don't read about him anymore. I didn't tell you to go lay hands on one. I sent you to lay hands on the sick. So see, all I have to do is just ask them if they're sick. He said, well, he sent me to lay hands on you then. Now hear that. See, hear and be healed. Are you following me? Now, I know when that anointing goes into you, and if you'll receive it, see, many of them, it'll come right back out of them, right back into my hands, because they don't receive it. See, if you could ever get it in your head, spiritual things are just as real as material. Now, you see, there's a pocket knife. I reach in my pocket, and God, I'm going to give it to this fellow right here. Now, do you think I could tell when he took hold of that and received it or not? Sure, I can tell it. Is that right? Well, without looking even, with shut my eyes. Do you think that I can tell if he doesn't? Sure can. Sure can. Isn't that right? Now, are spiritual things as real as material things? Jesus took natural material things to explain spiritual, didn't he? See, by the same token, I can tell. See, we're ministering spiritual healing, or healing by the Spirit. Just put it that way. That's the way God heals, is through the human spirit. God is a spirit. Then if he heals, his spirit's healed. Now, I don't mean you're healed, you know what some people call spiritual healing. I'm not talking about that. That's a different thing entirely. In other words, healed by divine power. We call it divine healing because it's being healed by divine power. Are you following me? Well, you take hold of divine power, spirit power, with your spirit. can't take hold of it with your physical hand. You take hold of that knife, your physical hand. If it was mental healing, you could take hold of it with your mind. It's not mental healing. God's not a mind. God's a spirit. God's not a man, the Bible said. God's a spirit. You can't take hold of it with your physical being. You can't take hold of God or His power, healing power, with your mind, with your mental powers, because He's not a mind. The Bible said, with the heart man believeth, not with the head. The heart. The heart. You're going to believe to receive. When you see what things every desire, when you pray, believe you receive, and you shall have. The previous verse said, shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe. Believe in his heart. Your heart, your spirit. Your heart, your spirit. The spirit's the heart of man. That's the center of his being. You see? To believe is to receive. See what Jesus said to me? He said, if they'll believe it and receive it, you be as bold as Ananias was. Jesus said to me, the bolder you are to tell it, the more results you'll get. The less bold you are, the less results you'll get. I proved it out. I proved it out. You watch it. The less you say about this anointing and this power, the less results you'll get. He said, every place I went, I didn't just preach that sermon, take my text from Isaiah and say, the Spirit of the Lord's upon me. I didn't just do that in Nazareth in the synagogue. That's the first sermon I preached everywhere I went. I told him that everywhere I went. That's what Jesus said to me. Well, you got any record that he didn't? You think he just preached it once? No. If he's the anointed one, that's what he told him, he's the anointed one. I'm anointed. Well, who do you think you are? Well, I'm just a servant of the Lord. Well, who do you think you are to be anointed? Well, I didn't do it. Jesus did. Besides that, God anoints people to stand in different offices. Anybody knows that? If he calls you to preach, he anoints you to stand in the office of pastor, if that's what he called you to do. Are you listening to it? Besides that, every believer that's filled with the Holy Ghost has an anointing of the Spirit in him. Now, it's not the same anointing, but he has the anointing of the Spirit. That anointing is to teach him. Remember what John said, second chapter of John, first John said, the anointing abideth in you. He said, the unction abideth in you. Every one of those Christians. But you see, with the man that's called to the ministry, the anointing abides on him. Are you listening to me? It abides on him. See, I was anointed to preach before I was ever baptized, Holy Ghost, filled with Holy Ghost. The anointing would come on me to preach because God called me to preach. See, that's what Jesus said. He's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. And I was preaching away in my little Baptist church and not filled with Holy Ghost, never spoke with them. One Sunday night, my text, I'll tell you exactly what it was. James, for what is your life? That's my subject and text. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. And I'm just preaching away, the anointing's on me. And I had a supernatural experience. Never had one like that before, many since then. I saw in the back of my little church, an old country church, cloud come rolling in. Saw it. Just like fog, you know, like fog from the ocean down there. Come rolling in. Just come rolling in. Covered all the people up. Couldn't see one of them. Came right on up, all around the front, finally covered me up. Like you're standing in a thick fog. Couldn't see your hands right here in front of your face. It was white. It was a cloud. Read in the Old Testament. That's exactly the way it looked back there. It glistened. I could hear the sound of my voice, but don't know to this day one thing I said. I had my watch on the pulpit. I looked at the watch. I was out there in that 17 minutes. It began to lift the way it came. It lifted up around the pulpit just like a fog would. I could see just around here. I still couldn't see the front pew. Couldn't see the people. There's all in this cloud. I got my eyes wide open. I'm still talking. I hear the sound of my voice, but don't know one word I'm saying. I'm not speaking out of my mind. I'm speaking out of my spirit. The anointing is upon me to preach. He called me. Hallelujah. And it lifted, I could see the front pew. It lifted a little more, and I could see the second pew. It lifted, the building's full, a little more in the third, and right on down. And then when it lifted completely and left the building, and it's all clear, then I'm back to normal. And so I just said, everybody bow your head, because I don't know what I said, I don't know where I am. In my discourse, you see, everybody bow your head, gave an altar call. Then I said, without saying anything to some of them, now Mr. R.O. Cox, he was 89 years old. He was a spiritual leader of the community. He's a fine Methodist gentleman. This is community church. 85% of us are Baptist. I was a Baptist. And I said to different ones, really, and talking then to him, you know, was the last half of that sermon all right? Last 17 minutes of it, about 34 minutes altogether. Yeah, fine. Well, then what I say, you know, I knew I was preaching on what is your life. You know, it's even if they prepare for a little time, then vanish away. Did what I said fit in with it all right? Yeah, just fine. Well, I finally said to Mr. Cox, I said, was there anything different about the last? See, this never happened before, but that don't happen to Baptist every day. Yet I knew what that was. I knew it was the glory of God. I read in the Old Testament that the cloud filled the temple when they dedicated Solomon's temple. The glory of God filled it. The cloud, it called it the glory of God and called it the cloud so that the priest couldn't stand to minister. You read that happening all through the Old Testament. And so I said, was there anything different? Well, the only thing, Brother Egan, he said it did. He said people all over the community, see, I'm talking to him several days, are commenting on it that was in the service. Said, it didn't look like you. Your countenance shone. You look like an angel, the face of an angel. And the word just came pouring out of you with power. And then I told him, I don't know one word to say it. I saw this glory come in, fill the whole house. Well, he said, people, sinners are talking all over the community. He said, you know, his countenance changed right in the middle of his sermon. It didn't look like him. You couldn't hardly look on his face. His face shone. Well, that's all in the Bible too, isn't it? See? All right. The Lord said to me, you be as bold as Ananias was. See, we haven't been as bold as we should have been about supernatural. Are you listening? Well, I wish I had time to preach to you a little bit about boldness. Did you ever notice in the early church what they did? You know, Peter and John's arrested, they're elected, that man at the gate called Beautiful were healed, and they threatened him, commanded him to preach and teach no more in the name of Jesus. In Acts 4, you know, 23 said, and being let go, they went to their own company, reported all the chief priests and elders said to them, and they, the whole company, believed and lifted up their voice and went according unto God in prayer and said, now, Lord, behold, they're threatening, and concluded the prayer by saying, grant that thy servant shall be enabled to speak thy word with boldness by stretching forth thine hand to heal the sick, and the signs and wonders shall be wrought in the name of the Holy Child Jesus. Amen. Isn't that what he said?
That's what I said.
Yeah, that's what he said. I knew you were true. Praise God. Now notice what they said. Notice at the end of that fourth chapter of their prayer. Notice that. Grant that thy servant shall be enabled to speak thy word with boldness. By stretching forth thine hand to heal the sick and signs and wonders to be wrought in the name of the Holy Child Jesus. Now read what Paul writing to one of the churches said. Ephesians 6:18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. For all saints. Now notice the next verse. And for me. That utterance may be given unto me. That I may speak the word boldly. Hallelujah to Jesus. Boldly. Jesus said to me, the bolder you are to tell it, the more results you have. Hallelujah. Be as bold as Ananias was. Entering in, he put his hands on him and said, brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus that appeared to thee in the way as thou camest, has sent me. Tell the people, Jesus said, that if they know me, the same Jesus they know has sent me. What did he send Ananias for? That thou mightest receive thy sight, might be healed and filled with the Holy Ghost. And that's what I've sent you to do. I've given you a ministry of laying on of hands. There is a ministry of laying on of hands. Are you listening to me? I want you to see that. I want you to be. Now, let's conclude. Let's conclude with this fifth chapter where we read Scripture last. Let's find out something about this power. Jesus is anointed with it. He said he was. Acts 10:38, talking about the healing power, said how God, Peter preached to Cornelius, how God, Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power. And when am I doing good? And healing. Healing. The woman with the issue of blood touched his clothes. The Bible said he knew immediately in himself that power had gone out of him. What was the power that went out of him? Well, his healing power, it healed him, didn't it? Didn't it? I said, didn't it?
Yes.
His healing power, where did it come from? God anointed him with it. Let's learn something about how it operates. Yet he said, daughter, the 34th verse, daughter, thy faith has made thee whole. Now, he's anointed with the power. But what gave action to that power, that healing power he's anointed with? What gave action to it? Her faith. Her faith. Not Jesus' faith, her faith. Now go back to what we said at the beginning. They came to hear and to be healed. Now go back to what Jesus said to me and see it? See it? You tell the people exactly what I told you. Tell them you saw me. Tell them I appeared to you. Tell them I spoke to you. Tell them I laid the finger of my right hand upon each one of your hands. Tell them the healing anointing or power is in your hands. Tell them I told you to tell them. If they'll believe that is, believe you're anointed. See, they couldn't believe without hearing it. I would read from Isaiah and say, the Spirit of the Lord's upon me every place I went. If they believed it, they received it. If they didn't, they didn't. You can see that in Nazareth. Be as bold about it as Ananias was. If they will believe it, that is, believe you're anointed, and will receive that anointing, then that power will flow out of your hand. I can tell when it flows out. I can feel it flowing out. He didn't say they'd feel it. Sometimes they do, sometimes they don't. I've had people never felt a thing, yet they had incurable diseases. It was perfectly all right. Are you listening to me? Majority of the time, generally they would. But he said, when you feel that power, leave your hands and go into them, you know they're healed. That means as far as God's done, concerned, it's done. You've got to mix faith with it, though. If they'll believe it and receive it, that power will go out of your hand, flow out of your hands into their body, will drive out their sickness or disease, or will effect a healing or a cure in them. Hear and be healed.